Ladies and gentlemen, today on the Wrestling Takeover, I will be reacting to a podcast, 6 Feet Under, with Mark Calaway, aka The Undertaker. And he is going to be talking about several topics on today's show. Now, the topics that he will be talking about today are plentiful, I would say. He has a lot. So this is what he's actually going to be talking about today. He says, in one of the topics regarding the question on Sting, I will be reacting to that. I'm also going to be reacting to his more in-depth analysis on Sting's retirement and why a match never happened, the decision to retire, the Boneyard match, and doing the one dead man show in Australia, upcoming dead man shows and fan questions, 6 men Hell in a Cell match at Armageddon 2000 with all the people that were involved, and the Mount Rushmore. All that coming up next with my reaction to the podcast. Let's get it.
Welcome to...
You're listening to The Wrestling Takeover.
What is your name?
With your host, Jordan Turner, who's always going to keep it real.
Come on, King.
Inside and outside the ring.
Let me make myself clear.
He's got the fans behind him, King.
It's time to take over, King.
Are you ready?
He's all fired up now, King.
Takeover.
Let's go.
What's going on, everybody? It's Jordan Turner, host of the Wrestling Takeover podcast. Thank you guys joining me once again for a brand new episode. This is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and I'm back with another reaction to a podcast episode, which you guys will be hearing me react to in a little bit. But I appreciate everybody coming from the digital airwaves of YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Speaking of YouTube, if you guys want to go to youtube.com/podcastjshow, that's where I distribute all my audio content of the Wrestling Takeover with all my brand new episodes that will be dropping more consistently. So y'all don't have to worry about that. I will be doing more reactions, more audio reactions to certain interviews that I feel, in my opinion, is worth listening to and reacting towards. So you guys are going to be getting that. More content on WWE, more content on AEW, and that's what you guys are going to be getting, man. So strap up, tap in. I appreciate, you guys just going out and listening to it, man. If you guys enjoy a fan that brings a different type of perspective that many fans can relate to, and a perspective that, honestly, these type of opinions need to be talked about. They need to be brought up in topical discussions, because not a lot of people are going to bring up the type of discussions that I bring up, right? If it's, topics that I'm kind of, being more negative towards, somebody's got to say it, So I feel like I'm not doing my job if I'm not doing that. In-depth storylines on AEW, WWE, fantasy booking, that's kind of what I built my brand on. Creativity, I built my brand on also just being honest and being real with you guys, and not trying to bullshit you guys, because you want someone that's real, someone that, is going to bring that type of attitude, that unfilteredness. But also, yeah, I bring the unfilteredness, but I also scale it back. I try not to, disrespect the pro wrestlers, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to get into the wrestling business and I don't want this to catch up to me. So, You can kind of relate to that. But let's get into the interview with the dead man, with the GOAT. Let's get into it with The Undertaker, man. Let's see what he's got to say.
Where I go on any given day,
you get the question.
Why didn't you and Sting ever have a match? Or why didn't, this happen or that happen? Which would have been, man, that would have been huge box office. It just didn't work out.
It didn't work out. That's what he's saying. This is on YouTube, guys. I know you guys are listening to the intro, but let me pause it real quick. This is on YouTube. So when there is, there's a lot actually of ads. And so I will be, playing the ads, but I'm going to mute the podcast. Like, I'm going to really stop the podcast because I don't want the ads to be playing. So when you don't hear anything for a couple seconds, it's because I stopped the ads and I don't want it to, be in the podcast, because this one is not distributed to Apple Podcast or Spotify yet. So I can't really, do anything about it. So again, if you guys are out there and you're listening to the show, you're listening to this episode, and you guys don't really hear anything, it's because the ads are playing and I don't want the ads to be playing on the audio portion of the podcast. So let's get into what he's got to say.
Episode out, apologizing
to a lot of people.
So
go ahead.
The last time we were here,
I
was pretty sick, and the last episodes I was highly medicated, and don't feel like I did a great job.
No, yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the heart to tell you you sucked.
But yes.
But hey, you were a team player, man. You sucked it up and you did what you had to do.
It was a rough last trip, to be honest with you. I don't remember a lot of our studio time. I was highly medicated, but we're back now. A little 100%? Different.
You 100%?
I'm 100%. Yeah. I'm 100%. Yeah. Had got a little bit of sushi in my belly from last night, so...
Yeah,
I'm doing good now.
I love sushi, by the way. Studio. Love sushi.
We're in a different studio.
We're just changing constantly.
Yeah, we're like chameleons.
We're just going to go from one place to the next.
I heard a lot of people like it was like I felt kind of like at home. It felt like a morgue.
It's a little dark.
It was a little dark. I mean, what the hell you expect from me?
Yeah, I mean, like you know, it's one thing like to try to find that Undertaker. Look and feel, but you also need to be able to see.
Yeah, it helps and hear. That helps. That helps a lot too, man.
So, that's true. Yes,
you know our buddy, you know JT over with Black Rifle. He is partnered up on this studio here in Austin. So I figured if we're going to pay rent for a studio, we might as well pay it to somebody that we actually know.
And, right. Might get some free coffee out of it.
Potentially. I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
It's a business, man.
I'm still paying for it at the coffee shop that I'm at every day.
Holy crap. There's a Black Rifle Nine Line, right?
And if I get coffee to this day, I still pay for it. I pay for everything down there. They don't believe it. Tyler doesn't believe it, but I still pay for everything. The only thing I get free is whenever I'm getting shirts for you.
Well, you better go in a couple extra double mediums.
I did on this last one.
He's like, get a couple of, get a couple of 2-3 X's and just slip a couple double mediums in there. And
6 months into it, I finally have.
And by the way, guys, I'm going to be listening to everything they say. All right, so. Maybe over the next couple minutes, they don't talk about wrestling or anything like that. I don't want to try to find when they're going to talk about pro wrestling. I'm just going to kind of play it. And they'll bring it up. And when they bring it up, when Undertaker starts speaking on it, that's when I will kind of like pause it and, and all that other stuff. But let's kind of continue what he's got to talk about.
The Ultimate Warrior. He was the Dingo Warrior.
All right, there you go. Here is when Undertaker's going to start bringing up the pro wrestling stuff. So I will be pausing it and reacting to it and giving you guys my honest opinions of what I'm listening to. I think he's talking about Sting's retirement and why the match never happened. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
In Dallas, which was where I broke in, I remember seeing those two guys as a tag team there, and then they obviously split up, and Warrior went to New York, and Sting ended up at WCW. I don't know if Sting ever went to work for Mid-South, but I mean what a run he had with WCW.
Maybe the face of WCW.
Absolutely, the face of WCW for sure.
I mean, obviously they had some big stars, and but I think he's one of the cornerstones of that company. Early '90s through the 2000s. I mean, he was just. I don't think there was anybody in that company that was any bigger.
He did something very similar to you. I mean, he did a character change.
Yeah,
that was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one, and it's always a roll of the dice, man. Yeah. It really is. People can either they can either accept it, or they can crap all over it. And it was cool. It was kind of a, what's the movie? The Crow theme.
Yeah. I want to pause it here. Yeah. So as we get into the wrestling conversation here, me reacting to what. Undertaker's talking about here with Sting. you know, with the Surf Sting stuff, you know, it was cool. You know what I mean? I was more of a WWE guy. I want to let everybody know this is going to be like a mellow type of reaction. I'm not going to start screaming and hollering or do anything like that. So if you're new to the podcast, you're just finding the Wrestling Takeover. Number one, I appreciate you. Number two, when I do reactions to podcasts like this, it's just mellow. I'm literally reacting to what these people are saying and kind of giving my two cents into what I'm listening to. I love conversations like this. And that's kind of what I want to kind of build my eventual podcast on just having, you know, people on my show and having special guests, having a studio where people can come in, tell their stories. We don't really have one that's kind of like, you know, like the sports, like the uninterrupted thing. You know how J.J. Redick, if you guys did not know, J.J. Redick and LeBron James announced that they're having a like conversational sit down thing and where they talk about, you know, the NBA and just basketball in general. They try to educate people and stuff like that. That's kind of what I want to do in pro wrestling. I also want to kind of have a debate show as well. So I kind of want to have two things, a debate show and also just a calm, cool, collected sit down type of conversation. Like, okay, so picture this. I'm gonna get into the reactions, but just picture this. You have the sit down conversation. It's mellow, smooth, just relaxing, and you're just shooting the shit. You're just talking pro wrestling. You're not yelling, you're not screaming, you're not doing all that stuff. But then you have the debate show where you kind of get in, you kind of get in quote unquote character, right? But I mean, I'm not in a character. It's just all my opinions that I say. I genuinely mean it. You know, I'm just kind of like turning the volume up a little bit. You know what I mean? But I'm not over there going crazy and screaming and hollering and stuff like that. But because I can with this Sting and Undertaker thing, I could do that right now. But why am I going to do that? It's never going to happen. So it's just more of a disappointing thing. You understand? So, but that's kind of what I want to do. I kind of want to have a debate show. No one really has that in pro wrestling when it comes to podcasting and commentary and stuff like that. But I also kind of want to have a mellow podcast where it's just a simple conversation like these two gentlemen are having. They're sitting down, they're just shooting the shit, and they're just talking. So that's kind of what I want to do. But yeah, let's get into the, you know, the Crow Sting stuff. I like it. I like the Crow Sting. I thought it was great. I know the Surfer Sting. I wasn't around. I started watching pro wrestling around, I'd say, the middle of 1999, early 2000s is where I started watching pro wrestling. So, in reality, I missed majority of the Attitude Era. I mean, I really missed all of it, to be honest with you. And I'm okay with that. You know, I went back and I know there's documentaries and stuff and, you know, I really wasn't around because I wasn't born. Yeah, it was, that Attitude Era is crazy, but the stuff with Sting and WCW, Sting was their Undertaker. Sting was, you know, their John Cena. Sting was the guy in WCW. And the reason WCW folded is because of WCW and the decisions that they made that ultimately crippled their promotion.
The deal, yeah. It was kind of a dark deal. So I wonder now, like everywhere I go on any given day,
you get the question.
I get the question. Yeah. I always call it the question. Like when I do the One Dead Man Show, I just wait.
Oh, of course, man. That's the main question. That's the main question that people want to know. What the fuck happened? Why didn't we get Sting versus Undertaker? Because for me personally, Sting versus Undertaker, it sucks, man. Sting versus Undertaker was my number one dream match. Number one. Out of every match that you can think of. I had Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles up there. At the time when she was there, I had Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks versus Trish Stratus. I have that up there. I had John Cena versus Undertaker in their prime, right? Shawn Michaels versus Eddie Guerrero, RIP. I had dream matches, but at the end of the day, the number one dream match that I feel a lot of us can agree on in and around the IWC was Sting versus Undertaker. It sucks.
You know, I was like, oh, when's it coming? Because I know it's going to come. And, yeah. And it's always like, what? Why didn't you and Sting ever have a match? Or why didn't, you know, this happen or that happen? Which would have been, man, that would have been huge box office. It just didn't work out. And
he never came over to I mean, he did, but it was just such a, he was a very short run in WWE.
Short run in WWE.
Very short.
And Vince didn't want it. Not for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. He just didn't he didn't feel it, and you know everybody else was like, people have been clamoring for this match for quite a few years now. I mean, as soon pretty much, I don't know, a year or two into his turn or into that character change. I mean, people were already, they were sending me artwork with the. With the billboard or the poster, really? Right? You know, and so, it just never worked out. And then it got, you know, then it was two when he got there. The match would have been good, but I don't think it would have lived up to the expectations that people have for it. I mean,
all right, let me pause. He's going to continue. Again, this is a calm, cool, collected. Reactional conversation. I'm reacting to it, but I'm also giving commentary and great conversation. You know, it's even Mark Calloway is kind of like in agreement with the fans, like towards Vince, like, the fuck are you doing? Like, this is going to draw money. What are you doing? And it's just a simple thing of Vince just, he didn't want it. That's it. He didn't want it. He never thought about it. It's not that, oh, Vince, in his eyes, oh, it's not going to draw money. Man, come on. Stop the bullshit. We know it was going to draw money. I mean, this was going to be one of the most promoted, high-profile dream matches in wrestling history. Fuck just WWE. In wrestling history. And for Vince to have this mentality, I mean, he could think what he wants. I mean, he's the owner. I'm not. You're not. He is. But to have this mindset that, like, yeah, it's not gonna do much for me. What? People been wanting to see this for many years, and you have an ample opportunity to give us this match, and you pass on it because you don't want it? That's crazy. And then when Undertaker brought up, or when he's about to bring up, Undertaker around, I would say 2000, and when he came back as the Dead Man, right? He wanted to have great matches, great quality bouts. That wrestling fans can look back on and say, man, those matches were killer, bro. Those matches were cooking. You understand? And by God, this dude had a lot of them. I mean, he has my favorite match of all time in WWE history and pro wrestling history ever. There's a couple matches that come, well, there's one match that comes very close to it, but the King is still Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 in Houston, Texas. That's my favorite match, not only in WWE history, but it's my favorite match ever that I've ever seen. And it's funny because I came so close to going to WrestleMania 25, but it's all good because I sat at home watching that and I felt like I was there. It was an unbelievable match. If you guys are curious, when I brought up, you know, there's one other match that I feel not trump. It will not trump Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. But I think it's my second favorite match I've ever seen. And I'm talking about Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega 2 at Forbidden Door 2. That match to me had the aura, had the crowd, had the announce team, just had it all. That was very similar to Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels was telling a story of good versus evil, but they were doing it in a way of art. You know, they were painting their picture, painting their art, right? And it was a great match. Like, we know it was a great match. It's one of the greatest matches of all time, my favorite match of all time, right? But the story that they were telling was incredible. Now, with Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, they had history dating back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, Wrestle Kingdoms, and all that other stuff, which I was fully aware of because at the time when they were there, I was watching. So I was fully aware of their matches. And their first match was in Wrestle Kingdom, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Their second match was in Forbidden Door, AEW. And to me, that is my... There's so many matches, but that to me is my second favorite match of all time, is Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door 2. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels still hold the throne. They're still the king of it. But the prince, it's Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay. But I'm kind of going off topic, going off base here. But it is a shame, man. It is a shame that Vince just didn't see any money in it. I don't know what the fuck Vince was thinking. He left a lot of money on the table. And in fact, if memory serves me correct, I think this match was supposed to happen at WrestleMania 27 and or WrestleMania 31. I might be wrong. Maybe Mark Calloway, Undertaker will, talk about when or where it was supposed to happen. But from what I was reading over the years, it was either supposed to happen at WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Santa Clara at WrestleMania 31. But let's continue.
I'll always think about things in a certain sense. Like I think they thought in their mind of Undertaker 2007, 2008 versus...
There it is. There it is right there. Undertaker 2007, Undertaker 2008. Undertaker, to me, around that was prime. That was prime Undertaker. That was prime Taker to me. That's when he really started to have great quality matches. And then 2009 came and he had that... at the greatest match ever with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. But I love that he mentioned the year of 2007, 2008, because that was prime Undertaker. That was prime Taker when it comes to really showing what he's capable of inside the ring.
You know, Sting, yeah. It was later on than that. And, you know, I can say, you know, I was way on the backside of what I was going to do when he got there. And
we may have thought that he was too, but apparently he.
Well, yeah, I mean, he hung on. But the thing, the smart thing.
See, that's, you know, I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all, man. I keep it a bean. I always keep it real with you guys. No matter what, no matter what type of conversation, no matter what topic we're on and we're talking about here. You look at Sting and what he's doing in AEW, and you're going to tell me Vince in his eyes. You look at that, and you're going to tell me, yeah, no, that wouldn't be a good match with The Undertaker. What are we doing? Now, Undertaker now? No, of course not. But 06, 07, 08 Undertaker, even versus the Sting in 2024, instant classic. Instant classic.
He did. He was booked judiciously.
Yeah.
He wasn't put into situations where he might have got exposed and not be able to maybe keep up with the younger talent. It was very, very that was, you know, that I don't know. It was probably him, I would imagine. Yeah. Because you have to understand your limitations. Because a lot of times people will, you know, they'll get caught up in the moment and, oh, well, let's put Sting in the ring with such and such. Yeah. And I'm just talking about, you know, I'm just talking about AEW. Yeah, there have been tons of single matches for him, but you know, he kind of took a, you know, he took what's the other kid's name?
Darby Allin.
You know, there was a little bit of chemistry there, and you know, Sting was kind of that big brother type role.
Putting him in a tag team as well at this point of his career was a smart move.
It's a very smart move because you don't get exposed. It was smart. You can very creatively pick your point. You pick your
spots.
And
when you're saying exposed, it's not the fact that Sting doesn't have the talent. It's just Father Time had.
Father Time has never lost. Yeah, he's undefeated. He is
absolutely.
You know, and believe me, I know. I feel like I can speak on this, and I'm not. You know, I'm not trying to say anything disparaging about Sting. Yeah. It is what it is. Like in my heart and my mind, if I could, I would still be in the ring.
Yeah.
But I had to come to the cold hard facts that like what my mind's eye and my heart feel, my body wants no part of.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
See? And that's also too why. Listen, you're not going to find one of the biggest Undertaker fans in me. He's my GOAT. He's my king. He's my number one dude, period. But you watch him, and it was tough. It was tough. There was so many, just, you know, WrestleMania alone, you know, WrestleMania 27, you can kind of see it certain, like, damn, Undertaker ain't the Undertaker. And then, you know, WrestleMania 28, it was like, all right, that's cool, but there's still a little bit that are like, Undertaker ain't the Undertaker. You get to WrestleMania 29 with CM Punk, and he was like, okay, that's the old Undertaker. There he is. That's the man. I understand that WrestleMania 30, he got a concussion, People need to understand, I think he got a concussion like 5 minutes into the match, and it was over of that. It was very uncomfortable to watch. And to know that... many fans like myself are very educated, very aware of what's going on, how wrestling works, the innuendos of wrestling inside and outside the ring. These wrestlers got to accept that, you know, we're very educated, and that's okay. That's okay. It's kind of the same thing with the NBA. I've been seeing a lot of the old cats, you know, attacking fans of, oh, you don't know anything, you're not playing. It's not about that, bro. It's not about that, you know. I would rather have someone that's very educated and very smart, but at the same time is very passionate about what he or she is watching. And these pro wrestlers got to understand that, like, we love you guys. You know what I mean? We love you. We want you to do well. But when a storyline is bad, if a character is bad, if a moment that we seen was terrible, a promo, a match, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm going to speak up about it. Now, I'm not going to go and brutally attack you and start calling you derogatory names and stuff, but I will call you out on it, and you have to accept it and just want to get better and not say, oh, you're this, you're that, you're in your basement, whatever, you know, a lot of these wrestlers kind of say. But at the end of the day, man, we want the pro wrestlers to thrive. You know what I mean? If we weren't putting any money into anything, I mean, come on. So let's not kind of start that conversation. But at the end of the day, you know, Undertaker's right. Mark Calloway's right. You know, yeah, we wanted to see the match. We were all craving for it. We're like bloodthirsty for it. But Undertaker wasn't in his prime. Now, Sting, he wasn't in his prime, but I mean, he went back, you know, a couple years to really show that he can still go at the age that he's at. I just wish, Undertaker had that capability, but his body was telling him something else.
Wants no part of it, and it doesn't allow me to you know, it doesn't allow me to do the things that I want to do. Could I go out there on my sweat equity and what I've done? Hell yeah, I could. I could go out there because I don't, I mean, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I don't think there's anybody in the business that can throw a punch like I can throw a punch.
Yeah.
And
when I took it, throws the best punch in the business.
I'm not messing up my brand new knees with a tombstone, but I could walk out there and you know, I could shuck and jive and smoke and mirror it and make people feel like they saw something, but that just ain't, that's just not right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just people pay too much money to be entertained properly. And
That's the difference in having that mindset of being able to walk away with gas left in the tank.
I'm sorry, I keep pausing it, man, but I love that Undertaker brought that up. Listen, I'm paying top dollar. I'm trying to see the Undertaker. I'm not trying to see Undertaker from WrestleMania 30. I'm trying to see the Dead Man, 2006, 2007, 2008 Undertaker. That's what I'm trying to see. And if you can't give me that, then, maybe it's time to pack it up. And I love that Undertaker has that mindset.
And, I don't even know how old Sting is.
He knows when to walk away.
I think. I know he's older than I am.
What's insane is the fact that he's 61 and still looks pretty good in the ring. Like he can still move.
Yeah, he can still move. Yeah.
And work, which I think is a testament to what he's done. Going back to what you said just a little bit ago of, maybe proper booking and everything else. I think WCW did a really good job when he made that character change as well with him,
right?
Because we say it all the time. We've said it, I think, almost every episode. He can tell a story. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing with the NWO and, I mean, the heat that they had and everything else, he could come in and not even have a match.
Right.
And yeah. He was – I don't know. You have to go back and look at the numbers. But, I mean, I don't know how many matches he was having per year during that run with the NWO and him coming out of the rafters and stuff. But he would come out of the rafters on a Monday night with a baseball bat, clear the ring, be in the ring for 5 minutes and – never actually have a wrestling move.
Right.
And blow the roof off the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure because I wasn't there, but if I'm not mistaken, like all those top guys were not making the house shows. They weren't doing live events. They were doing TV and...
That's good living.
No, it is good living. And that's, WWE still runs live events, but... I mean, even they are more judicious with their talent,
yeah.
So that it keeps. I mean, the model now is so good. I mean, it's a money making machine. But he didn't have, I don't think, the wear and tear on his body because he wasn't having to grind it out on the road.
Yeah.
He paid his dues. Don't get me wrong.
Early on, I mean, in the 80s, early 90s. Yeah.
He paid his dues and earned that. And they were smart enough to let's take care of our top guys.
Yeah. Luckily for him, they were able to do that to him, those mid to late 90s to where it was able to put a little bit more tread on those tires for him later in his career. And I think something that's kind of impressive.
It's kind of a lost start here. Maybe that's why Sting was able to kind of still hang around because he wasn't able to go on house shows and stuff like that. I don't want to sound cruel or nothing, but I want to be honest with you guys. I'm not saying get rid of house shows completely, but I think scaling back house shows needs to be an Undertaker, Mark Calloway. I keep calling him Undertaker because, that's what I grew up watching him as. But Mark Calloway was pretty much saying the way the model that WWE is doing now and implementing it is pretty smart. All the top guys and top women, they aren't really on live events like that, but the other people are because they got to pay their dues, right? I feel like that's smart, but at the same time, I feel like everybody with the live event thing, I'm going to be honest, you don't really need to be having a lot of live events. I think they really need to scale that back. They might already be scaling it back, but I mean like significantly scaling it back, like maybe 2 to 3 house shows per month with TV and that's it. That's just my opinion. Let me know what you guys think in the comments if you think WWE really needs to start scaling back house shows.
And impressive with him is the fact that he never had that long run at WWE, which I feel like a lot of times since, call it late 80s, you needed a run with WWE to be a top guy in the wrestling industry, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's
that is true, though. It's true, though.
He was able to do it without that big run at WWE.
Yeah, no, his little short amount of time,
I mean, him and AJ Styles really changed the game. And you know, Bobby Roode, let's not forget him. These guys were mostly in TNA. For the majority of their careers, they were in TNA. And they felt like they needed validation, so they went to WWE. Like, yeah, the fans like you and stuff like that, but the majority of the audience doesn't even really know you guys. So for you guys to really want to be household names and you know, legends in this game, not saying you're not legends, because all three of them are legends, Sting, Bobby Roode, and AJ Styles. I mean, come on, don't get me started with AJ Styles and Sting. I mean, AJ Styles' name, the Phenomenal One, was created in TNA. But for them to really, you know, go to the next level, the fact is they needed to go to WWE.
I think people forget about it. I mean,
I think he would have been even bigger, but you know, I don't think it tarnishes his legacy one bit, because he was a loyal soldier, man.
I will say Sting's run in WWE, it wasn't anything special. It really wasn't. But I'm genuinely happy that he came to WWE and competed. He wasn't wrestling all the time. But I am happy that he was in WWE, but I just wish his run was booked a little bit better. It just felt like Vince McMahon, from what it looked like to me from an outsider's perspective, I genuinely mean this. I might be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I just felt with the way Sting was booked, I mean, he was protected and stuff, and that's great. But deep down, I do feel like Vince McMahon just didn't want Sting there because he's a WCW guy. And that was confirmed when Triple H defeated him at WrestleMania 31, where Sting should have won that match. You and I know that. Everybody knows that. So that's kind of what I feel about that. I just feel like Vince just really didn't want him there. He might have wanted him there, but he also wanted to embarrass him, and that's kind of what he did. That's why he lost to Triple H at WrestleMania 31 to kind of tell, you know, Sting, like, listen, this is my company. You over here, that's cool. But I'm always letting you know that WCW will forever be number two to WWE. And that's kind of what I got from it when he lost to Triple H.
You know, WCW as long as he could be, and then obviously he went, I think, to TNA and did some stuff there. Yeah. You know,
did you see
he had an amazing run in TNA? People like to scoff off of TNA and this person, oh, WWE. Nah, man, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, and Sting, but especially Sting here, since the conversation's on Sting. Sting had a tremendous run in TNA, and I was still watching TNA around the early 2000s. Let's not bullshit around. I was watching WWE. I was more in WWE, but I was watching TNA. And I did order TNA pay-per-views. So I was a TNA fan, especially at its peak. It was crazy.
While you were working in that switch, did you see a lot of Undertaker in him when he made that switch?
Yeah, there was... obviously, it was a darker character, yeah. More brooding type character. You know, of course, you know, I'm sure, you know, there was things I would have done differently, but I thought he did a great job, especially from being the colorful, charismatic
Malibu Sting,
yeah, all that, you know, with the cropped flat blonde
mohawk. He's from California.
You know, flat top kind of, you know, I mean, to go from that to this dark, brooding character.
Kids loved him. He's,
yeah, you know, I mean, he sold tons of merch. Which I mean, he sold tons of merch. You know, as the dark side. I don't even know what the. Everything has like I have eras of like, yeah, like and, the purple era.
Because he had that Malibu Sting. He had like the, I guess it. I mean. I feel like they may have called it the Crow or something. I mean, I have to look it up. I mean, I'm not
Dark Sting, whatever it was.
Whatever it was. Because you had like NWO Sting where he did the red and black face paint and stuff.
Right. But he did a good job with it. And I'm just, just can't do any more but give him congratulations on a tremendous career. And, you know, he's upright and walking away from it. So,
yeah. I think something, that was very interesting that I think where we're seeing a little bit of change with WWE is they acknowledged his match and his retirement on Monday Night Raw.
Well, there's certain people in the industry. We're in competition with a different company. I get it. But Sting's legacy is so much bigger than AEW or any of that. Yeah. I mean, he deserved that, and I'm happy that as a company that they acknowledged it, because it's only right.
Me too.
Yeah.
That was something that I think it was surprising to everyone. I mean, it kind of was all over the internet that
yeah, and it, you know, it's that's just yeah, that whole AEW, WWE, it's kind of like politics, man. It's either...
Well, fuck it. Fuck that politic bullshit. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not just a WWE fan, okay? My blood is in WWE. Let me tell you something. My blood is in AEW. I want them to thrive and I want them to succeed. You might not like it, and that's cool with me. But I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a wrestling fan. Yeah, my coverage is all WWE. I would say the percentage is very high with WWE content. I mean, it's what we all know, right? The truth is, and this is the reality of the situation, a lot of people might not bring it up, but Tony Khan might be afraid to say it, but I'm going to say it. Not a lot of people watch AEW. Not a lot of people even know what the hell AEW even is and stands for. I mean, they get the wrestling thing, but AE, they might not even know what the hell that stands for. That's the truth. That's the reality of the situation. So I just wanted to point that out and let y'all know that right now. I am a pro wrestling fan. I am a WWE fan. I am an AEW fan. Stop with the politics. And please stop with the tribalism bullshit. But you know the crazy thing is? Y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna stop. Y'all gonna keep going. And keep going. And keep going. Y'all know that there's people in WWE that have people in AEW that they do support, that they look out for. You know there's people in AEW that are in WWE right now that they look up for and they admire over there. They're all friends. They're all friends. The more you know that, the better. The more you get that through your head, the better.
You're red or you're blue, you're conservative, you're liberal, whatever.
But the reality is most people are in the middle and they're watching both.
Most people are watching. They're wrestling fans.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, they just accept the fact that, you know, this is a true iconic, star within the wrestling industry. Yeah. So
it's like baseball, you know. Sometimes I do like going to watch minor league baseball. And
wow. And then they're capping.
Guys that used to be in the majors and they,
wow.
they're working out a pitch or something. You get to see them in at your local minor league baseball state.
Yeah. And on that note, Matt goes rogue.
Hey,
feet under.
I have yet to get a paycheck from WWE, so or AEW. The decision of retiring, though. Speaking about that,
Here we go.
I will never. And you're going to love that I'm willing to say this. I will never understand what it's like to be a professional athlete. I'll never understand what it's like to be the top dog in anything. How hard is it whenever you are at that level to, make that decision? I mean,
for me, it was extremely tough. It really was. Because I struggle. I still struggle with it. Like,
that's crazy that he still struggles with it.
This will light up the internet right here.
I'm just going to sit back now. Oh, man. Two microphones on.
Oh, man. So, you know, I just got back from Australia.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm just tired and, you know, I'm building this compound here in Austin and... And I don't know, I was having a moment and looked over at Michelle and she was, you know, we were trying to get on the same page with, you know, since I'd been gone. And I was like, I'm thinking about making a comeback.
Yo, take her.
And she looked at me for, she looked at me for like 15 seconds like, are you freaking kidding me? Like you would risk like all the stuff that you've had fixed already now that you've been retired, you would risk that. And I was just in a mood and I was like, yeah, I would.
Yo, take
and
her.
30 seconds after that, she's like, well, when are you gonna start training? And I'm just like, damn. You really want to collect that insurance policy, don't you? I think I'm over it now, but it's just sometimes I
you get that it.
I get it. I understand it. You know, well, I mean, I'm not in the business. I'm not a pro wrestler, but I get when you want to still do something you've been doing all your life and it's gone. But you have the capability of coming back if you want to. I get it, but take her. I love you, man. Mark Calloway, love you. You're the goat in my eyes. Please don't come back. You do not need to come back. Please, stay retired, man. Please.
I get the itch, and you know I don't put. And it's weird because like I was at the Rumble. Obviously, I went to Australia. I was at the Elimination Chamber. I can't believe anyone's not really caught on yet as far as, you know, our WWE personnel, but I leave. I have to leave. Like, I might hang for one match or two, but I got to go.
It's hard to watch it.
It's hard for me to watch.
Wow.
Because I still want to be.
Wait a minute. So that it's like that serious for Taker. He's got to leave. Wow. Maybe someone should talk to him about why it's a good idea to retire. And I mean, someone in the business like Paul Heyman or Triple H, one of those two guys, Shawn Michaels, you know, those three guys, one of them, like talk to Taker and she'd be like, bro, you've done everything. Like, you don't need to, you know, keep doing this. But at the end of the day, Mark Calloway is going to do whatever he wants, bottom line. But I genuinely hope he does not come back because he's done everything that he, you know, did in pro wrestling and WWE in the retirement match with AJ Styles and the Boneyard match. It's one of the greatest retirement ones, you know, going out type of performances I've ever seen. Now we have Sting's farewell match, but... yeah, you guys went off on a high with Sting and with Undertaker. It's pretty crazy that he always still gets that itch. It's pretty insane.
There's so much. And, you know, I have most of the time, you know, I'm good. And, you know, I love doing the One Dead Man Show. I mean, yeah. That's been a lot of fun.
It's a good outlet.
It is a good outlet, but nothing will ever replace getting in the ring and doing that. And then, you know, just things are different too now. Right. So it's, then I always like, man, I would do that so much differently than how they're doing it. And I get caught up in that. And then I'm like, God, man, you're going to sound like that crusty old timer.
Yeah. Please, Undertaker, please don't do that.
I'm all about storytelling. And
does it make you, do you get that itch a little bit more around WrestleMania time frame, especially?
Well, yeah, obviously WrestleMania was such a special part of my career.
I want to do a shout out to our sponsor.
All right, guys, I'm going to pause it. So again, you're going to hear a little nothing, but hold on 1 second. I'll be back.
You couldn't also, whenever something bad happens when you're 30 in a match,
yeah,
you're usually in a position enough to where, like, you don't maybe necessarily see it as blatant as you do when you're a little bit older.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you just go to, you know, Saudi Arabia and, you know.
Nearly die.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
So that's where Father Time, once again, always undefeated.
Always. And always will be undefeated.
But that struggle and that wrestling match that you have in your head of retirement is got to be difficult whenever you are the, you know.
All right. Listen. When you really want to look at it, AJ Styles was Undertaker's retirement match. But let me ask you guys a question. Comment down below. Who do you, in your opinion, feel if Undertaker still was wrestling today and WWE announced that WrestleMania 40 would be Undertaker's last match? Who would you want to see Undertaker face off and why? Let me know in the comments. Let's start a great discussion in the comment section. If Undertaker and Triple H talked, and Triple H went to Undertaker and said, listen, WrestleMania 40 is going to be your last match, retirement match. You're done after this. Or Undertaker goes to Triple H and says, you know what? I'm done after WrestleMania 40, officially. Triple H asks Undertaker, who do you want to face? I'm going to leave that to you guys. Who would you like to see Undertaker go one-on-one with at WrestleMania 40 if Undertaker was still around wrestling? And explain why you would want to see Undertaker face whatever opponent you are bringing up. Let me know in the comments on YouTube. I'm interested to know what you guys have to say about that.
This character that's ever performed and one of the greatest wrestlers that's ever performed. And I think everybody, I don't know what that conversation was like for Jason Kelce. I mean, there was probably, I could imagine he's sitting in that suite at the Super Bowl. You sat in that suite at WrestleMania.
Right, he's talking about the Kelce stuff. Oh, nope. Never mind. Sorry. Hold on. Talking about the Boneyard match. Let's play it.
Really, really fun stuff.
Passion will do stupid things to you, though.
What's that?
Passion?
Yeah.
That is true.
It will make you make dumb decisions. I mean, it just, when you're passionate, so passionate about something, you will make stupid decisions.
The last question I do have about the retirement aspect, who was Michelle the first person you sat down and talked to, like, and had that real conversation of post the Boneyard match of, like, that was it? Because I know you said it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting there by yourself going, this is it. Who was the first person that you actually said that to?
It probably was her.
I would hope,
you know,
so.
I mean, I knew in my heart, I knew, like I said, like I knew with internally, I'm done. You know, and then, you know, we filmed that thing. We were, I don't know, 30 minutes or so outside of Orlando. I had to go back and get all the glass and stuff that picked out of my arm from putting my arm through that window. And so I had quite a bit of time before I saw her or anybody really that I would talk to about that. And I kept thinking, you know, like, all right, this is gonna, you know, you're tired, you're stiff, or, you know, this may go away, but I mean, that's half, like, one side of your brain is like,
yeah,
the other side's like, no, dude, you're done, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just trying to get them on the same page. But,
well, now that you are retired, I feel like you stay pretty busy still. And, I mean, you just got off of a leg that
dude,
going to the other side of the world. So tell us, how was Australia, man?
Australia was unbelievable. I did four shows over there. I started in Perth.
Which is where they had Elimination Chamber, correct?
Which is, yeah. So those guys flew over, did the chamber, and then that night they got back on the charter and flew back.
That's crazy.
My tour was just starting. Like, I still had three more shows to do over the next, like, week and a half. But, man, I love Australia. I honestly, the people there remind me so much of Texans.
Just proud.
They're proud, but they're friendly people.
Yeah.
Like, they are just, you know, the crowds, man, my shows, holy crap. The first show in Perth, Fremantle Prison. It was in a prison. The prison is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I didn't go full on Johnny Cash.
You didn't go full on Johnny.
But my goodness, what a venue, right? So they set up my stage in the yard.
All right, I'm gonna skip a little bit of this, guys. I'm gonna go towards the end a little bit. All right, we're gonna talk about the six-man ladder match, or the six-man Hell in a Cell match in Armageddon. Let's get into it.
Man,
the next day you found out you threw a chop that night.
No, I knew I threw it that night. It was just, got caught up in the moment. It was Bear's fault again.
Once again, the Godfather strikes. Next question comes from Marco Tervonen from Finland.
This should be interesting.
Yeah. What did you think about the six-man Hell in a Cell match at Armageddon 2000? That was with...
That's a good one. I'm really interested to see what the Undertaker or Mark Calloway has to say here.
Kurt Angle, Stone Cold,
Rikishi,
The Rock. Is that it?
Was Triple H in that?
She believes so.
Triple H was in it. Yes, Triple H was in it. It was Triple H, Rikishi, Rock, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, and Steve Austin.
How many people we got there?
That's a...
Because me and Triple H were in just about all of them at some way or another.
Yeah, I pulled it up earlier. Yes, yeah. Triple H was in there. It was Angle, Rock, Rikishi, Steve, Triple H, and you, with Angle winning.
Yeah. So on paper, it looks good. Like,
it's an all-star.
You got all your big players.
Especially at that in that year.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got all your major players in one of the most brutal matches of the time period. So that aspect, it's a huge draw, right? It's like, oh, man, you're putting all these guys, and it's hard to call, right? It's like, whoa. There's so many variables of, yeah, of things
crazy.
That can happen.
Match was crazy.
I personally... At being the, you know, kind of more of a wrestling purist, I kind of liked the one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's like,
it can get more chaotic, I would imagine.
I'm not going to lie to you. I liked the match. The match was great. But there was a lot of people. And it felt to me, again, I'm a wrestling purist. I'm a wrestling enthusiast. I'm into the behind the scenes. I'm into the analyticals. I'm into, you know, really going deep into conversations, certainly about this type of stuff. From my point of view, when I was watching it or when I went back and watched it, it felt to me that everybody was kind of hitting their spots, and it was pretty much spot for spot for spot and here, here, here. That's what it felt like to me. Again, I wasn't in the match, so I can't really say anything about it. But from an outsider's perspective, that's what I felt the match was. You get the big spots here, but it's like, Rock, you do this. Rikishi, you do this. Okay, Kurt Angle, you do this. Steve Austin, you do this. Triple H, you do this. Okay, Undertaker, Rikishi, go up to the top rope or go up to the top of the cage. Rikishi, Undertaker's going to chokeslam you into the barn, little truck thing. It's going to be the biggest spot of the night. And we still got The Rock, Austin, Triple H, Kurt Angle wrestling in the ring. You guys stop and you guys react to what you've seen from the top of the Hell in a Cell. Okay, cool. That's what I kind of felt like it was.
Yeah. I mean, two men enter, one man leaves. Yeah, the old Thunderdome kind of
right.
And you can't mentality. You can't really do your spots or any of that, can you? And that
well,
and you can't mentality. You can't really do your spots or any of that, can you? And that
well, I mean, you can, but you're having to consider.
It's very limited.
Like, you're having to work around all these people, and all these things have to go. You know, all these pieces have to fall for it to make sure that the audience's focus is in the right place at the right time. I thought it was good. You know, you got a little bit of the.
I thought this nigga was going to be like, I thought it was dumb because he said, duh. I was like, ew. I thought he was going to say dumb.
You got a little bit of the, you know, the high impact bumps. You got a little bit, but it just doesn't, I don't think that a six man fit really in Hell in a Cell.
It doesn't.
It was just, I think it just kind of it watered down at that point what the cell was.
Yeah.
And the cell, you know, you have to figure they had me and Sean, had me and Mick, and then
UNH,
Triple H had had some wars in there too. Yeah. And you know, they're always bloodbaths and they were just really physical. But you knew at some point you were going to get to the end of a storyline. Usually, there was really not much more you could go after you went one on one with somebody in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
and now you have six guys, and I think I threw Rikishi off the top into the truck, and
yep,
you know, I couldn't make it down. Like I'm on top. You know, and as the finish is going down, so it takes me out of the equation. I mean, it served its purpose, but overall, I just, you know, I'd always just felt like Hell in a Cell should be one-on-one.
Yeah.
Two men enter, one man leaves. Fight to the finish kind of a deal. And
I think the Hell in a Cells that most people do remember are those
singles matches. They're just, yeah. I mean, it's just, you don't just go to Hell in a Cell. There's a lot of things that have to happen to get to Hell in a Cell. Or when we first started doing them, I mean, it was the, you know, be all to end all, or, you know.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm going to end it there. I got other stuff that I want to do. But I appreciate y'all tapping in with me to the Wrestling Takeover. Thank you guys if you're going to listen to every thing that Undertaker talks about. I know you probably listen to it yourself, but I love to do these reactions to, you know, specific podcasts and specific episodes of certain people and the way they talk about things. So again, you guys are going to get more of these. Again, it's going to be kind of a substitute with the Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite content, because I'm just so busy that I'm not able to really put out as much episodes as I can, but I'm going to try to be consistent with that. But in replacement for that, for right now, is reaction to interviews, giving my opinion on it, what I'm listening to, news and rumors, everything that's going on in the world of pro wrestling there, and just topical discussions that I have that topics that I want to bring up on the podcast and talk about. So you guys are going to be looking forward to all that. And then I'll bring back, you know, the Monday Night Raws and SmackDowns and the AEWs. I'm also going to, I forgot to do it on Monday Night Raw. I wanted to react to the promo from Cody Rhodes. I'm going to start bringing that more. So when someone cuts a promo that's very important, like Monday Night Raw with Cody Rhodes, I want to do a reaction to it. If someone's debuting, I want to react to the audio clip and give you guys my opinion like I did with Mercedes Moné. So we're going to start doing that and intertwining that more because I'm not able to really do the Raw reviews or the SmackDown reviews or the AEW reviews. So if segments from AEW promos that I want to, you know, go back and give you guys my opinion on, I'm going to start doing that for Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and AEW Dynamite. To let everyone know, I do watch NXT, so I do keep up with what's going on with NXT. So I just wanted to point that out to you guys. But other than that, I appreciate everybody tapping into the Wrestling Takeover. Be sure to subscribe to the Wrestling Takeover on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, leave me a 5-star rating on those platforms. I will sincerely appreciate it. Leave me a short review as well. And subscribe to my official YouTube channel, youtube.com/podcastjshow, where you get all of my the Wrestling Takeover audio content all displayed on YouTube. And you guys can go back and listen to it if you don't want to listen to it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Again, leave me a comment down below on YouTube on everything we talked about when it comes to the Armageddon Hell in a Cell, when it comes to the Boneyard match with AJ Styles, when it comes to the conversation on Sting, and many things that I gave my opinion on today's show. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for tapping into the Wrestling Takeover. Until next time, this has been Jordan Turner, host of the Wrestling Takeover podcast.